Asri report, and we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to Brother Imran Bakas.
Wa alaikum salam, Maulana. Thanks for having me, and thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Shukran, Jazakumul Khair for joining us. Imran, this of course the election here in South Africa. So it seems this time electoral issues will not just be informed and affected by domestic issues. Obviously domestic issues will feature your electricity, crime, etc. As it should be and as it always has. But the issue of Palestine, especially when it comes to the Muslim and the conscientized voter, that no doubt is going to have a bearing. Your thoughts on that, Imran?
No, absolutely. I think Muslims are increasingly preoccupied with electoral issues, and particularly how it intersects with what's happening in Palestine. So, yes, you're right. I think usually domestic issues are what dictate electoral choices. And I think, it will continue to be like that to a large extent. But I also think for the first time, a foreign policy issue is going to impact significantly on the upcoming election. You know, the upcoming election is significant for a number of reasons, and many are saying it's the most significant since 1994. And of course, the Palestinian issue adds kind of greater gravitas to this election, especially as the number of those killed in Palestine reaches, or quickly moving towards 40,000. I think Muslims have been really happy and delighted with the position the ANC has taken in terms of its broad solidarity, ranging from the ICJ case to a whole number of issues articulated by people like Naledi Pandor and others. So I think that has warmed the hearts of a number of Muslims and is going to impact the elections. I must say, though, that we need to disabuse people of this idea that, the ANC may have done this to kind of garner greater support from the Muslim community. I would say that's really, really far from the truth. I think principally the ANC's position on Palestine is about its international solidarity with the fellow liberation movement, historically the PLO. And, for those who know that relationship would know that Umkhonto weSizwe itself was assisted a great deal in the 60s by the PLO, to the extent that even people on the battlefield sometimes in the 60s, when they did not have uniforms, wore Palestinian Liberation Organization uniforms that had that emblem. So I think fundamentally it goes back to that relationship. Of course, the ANC will strategically mobilize that relationship and its solidarity with Palestine for the upcoming election. So, yeah, I think the Palestinian issue is going to impact significantly. And, Ramaphosa was moving around the country, and he was in Durban last week for a dinner and hosted by the Minara Chamber and Al Baraka. And I think, if you were at that dinner, you got a strong sense that the ANC's principal stance on Palestine has certainly won the admiration and support of many leaders in the Muslim community.
How Muslims vote, I mean, there's never been some sort of a consensus or some sort of a research study in whether they vote pro-ANC or what's their, political affiliations. Granted, in 1994 and maybe even in 1998, everybody seemed to have voted for the parties who they viewed as part of the liberation struggle. I mean, you would have been hard-pressed to find a person of color voting for the Nats at that time. It was very likely your ANC. There was no EFF at that point in time. There was the PAC, maybe, a few other parties here and there, a handful of parties anyway. So you had voted according to who you felt was responsible for the freedom of South Africa. And this would have been true if you were, as I said, a person of color. Since then, South Africa's politics have in fact moved on to other issues. We've got more political players and we've got more issues to discuss. Now, Muslim votes don't count as a single monolithic block that everybody is instructed by the imam or by Muslim media houses or Muslim leaders to vote in a certain way or for a certain party. So in the Western Cape, it may have been very common that you had a Muslim who felt that, my concern is my welfare, my sanitation, my protection. Therefore, I feel the DA is doing a better job at it, so I vote in that particular way. Today, we've got the EFF as an option as well for any voter for that matter. Is it true that the change chasing the Muslim vote. Is there a Muslim bloc that political parties could now gain and put in their pocket as a bank of votes? Or is this, in your opinion, Imran, simply just a myth?
Yeah, Maulana, I think what you said is largely true, but also I think somewhat untrue, especially what you were suggesting in the former part. I think if you go back to the literature and the data itself, even in the early years of liberation, people did not make their decisions based on the glorious history of liberation. Even in 94, you know, the Nats got, you know, a significant amount of support, and there was a dramatic turn in 99. In the Western Cape, in other parts of the country, from the ANC to other formations, you know, linked to the National Party, Democratic Party then, etc. And fundamentally, that change was linked to people's material interests. And that is where you also write that people don't make the electoral choices based on what the imam is saying at the mosque or what, you know, contribution the party made to liberation. Fundamentally, electoral choices are based on material interest. And I think we saw that even in 99, where there was a massive shift to the DA, especially amongst the working class constituency. The only time we saw another change in the Western Cape was when Ibrahim Rasool came in as the premier, and then we saw a bit of a shift. So yes, I think we're agreeing that material interests are what dictate people's electoral choices. And absolutely, there's no such thing as a Muslim vote. You know, Muslims are not a homogenous construct, certainly heterogeneous. And again, the way a middle-class wealthy Muslim votes might in part be linked to that person's relationship with the state, possibilities for social mobility and contracts, etc. And whereas a poor working class Muslim might make his or her decision on a completely different way, sorry, in a completely different way, and linked largely to, you know, their material interest. So I think that's true. But with the Palestinian issue being as stark as it is, we might not get a united bloc, but we're certainly going to see a return to support for the ANC, and I think that's a clear trend. You know, there are questions being asked about not only, you know, Palestine, but there's also people who are really concerned about the way international politics is occurring. Even those that might not be prepared to vote for the ANC might really find themselves alienated from other parties because of the sort of the positions they've taken, you know, pro-Israel, but also pro-Western white liberal positions. So I think, you know, this time around, it is complicated, but there certainly is going to be a trend towards the ANC. I have no doubt about that.
There are still those, Imran, of course, who reject the ANC, claiming, and I would say in many ways rightfully so, that, you know, you talk well, that you are now going to revisit the issues of the past. You claim to have now addressed corruption, but even you will be, or anybody for that matter, will be hard-pressed to find how most of the recommendations of the Zondo Commission have been practically applied. There are still many ANC officials, from councillors all the way to the top brass, implicated in aspects of corruption, that remain in their office, well salaried, and you know, hopeful of another 4 years of power. So granted, there are many people from all segments and all walks of life, Muslims included, that reject the ANC. They feel they could no longer vote for the ANC, but that does not necessarily mean that their politics or their support would now move to the left, to the liberal left, by way of the DA. They've got other options, and the EFF in Lens in particular and other places have proven that you can in fact get the non-African vote. You can get people of Indian, even of those who are of you know, foreigner background, that have been so-called naturalized in the South African system and are eligible to vote. You can get them to rally behind you, at least in some visible numbers. Your thoughts on that, Imran?
Yeah, so for one, I won't agree that the DA is at all left. Liberals certainly, but you know, in this kind of classical definition of what left is, certainly not. Yes, I agree. You know, the ANC has reached a point of 30 years in power, and liberation movements, like we've said multiple times before, they do tend to implode. They do tend to get pushed to the periphery. And this mark, corruption sets in, you know, infighting, the contestation for the looting of the public purse increases, etc. So, yes, I think anecdotally it seems that many South Africans may have lost hope in the ANC. But at the same time, they're finding that sort of pro-Western liberal hysteria quite nauseating, to be blunt. You know, thinking about John Steenhuisen rushing off to Ukraine in the middle of that, you know, really terrible onslaught by the Russians, but certainly no way behaving in any similar way when close to 40,000 Palestinians are killed. And it's not only the Democratic Alliance, it's also, you know, Build One South Africa, BOSA. All of them seem to speak with this, you know, liberal establishment kind of Brenthurst cutout. And it's no secret that many of them are also beneficiaries of, you know, establishments that are linked to Israel. So I think in large part, even Muslims who are disillusioned with the ANC might find it extremely difficult to turn to the Democratic Alliance or even BOSA. And this could weaken the hold of those two large parties in our political system. And it could, I think, and I know many would disagree, I think it could boost smaller players, such as Rais Mzansi. Much has been said about the fact that they also have Oppenheimer money, but they've taken a credible position on Palestine, and the head, ZB, and other young, impressive leaders like Irfan Mangera, etc., I think have all been really principled on the Palestinian issue. So my take would be parties like that are likely to benefit from that disillusionment with not only the ANC, but also with the DA and BOSA for other reasons.
Hmm. You know, post May, Imran, and finally we'll conclude upon this point here, the ANC no doubt will be looking towards its future. It would have taken heed from various issues of the last 5 to 7 years, notwithstanding, of course, the issues they continue to have with the MK party in the form of former President Jacob Zuma and those ghosts of old coming to haunt them ever so once in a while. But do you see the party revitalizing itself, reinventing itself, bringing new leadership? They've already, you know, put out there a number of new leaders. The ANC Youth League has been more active than how they've normally regularly been. Do you see this revitalization of the party possible going forward after the May elections of 2024?
I'm not convinced about the revitalization of the ANC, but there's a huge caveat. I think one is Ramaphosa is really committed to this project of renewal in the ANC. And I think one is able to get a good sense of that, hearing him speak, watching his writing, listening to much of the commentary, etc. There is a commitment to that renewal process. But I think the ANC has been overwhelmed with the kind of poor leadership, particularly at provincial and local level, and that kind of leadership that's focused primarily on looting the public purse. At the same time, in provinces like KZN, I think we, you know, that really have pathetic ANC leadership, a kind of leadership that inspires absolutely no confidence. And there have been huge concerns, not only in KZN, but around the country, about the non-racial project of the ANC. The ANC had two, you know, really significant moments in its history in terms of non-racialism. One was the Morogoro Conference in 69, and the other was the Kabwe Conference in 85, and where it started to take really progressive positions. And in recent years, we've seen them moving away from that non-racialism. But I think that non-racial project is being rescued by people like Ramaphosa, if you look at Fawzia Peer and others making it onto the NEC. But by and large, I think, you know, the ANC has too many problems. The ANC is being let down by the kind of leadership that it has, bar a few people. So I think it would be really difficult for the ANC to rescue itself. But I think time will tell. We'll have to watch closely, you know, what kind of support it gets in the upcoming election.
Imran Bakis, shukran, jazakumullah khairan for joining us on this Friday for the Asri Report. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.